and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
Alrighty, welcome aboard, everybody. It's New Retirement Radio time. Mr. Dennis Prout is in today from Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Ron. So much to talk about in so little time. It is Thursday, the 19th of November, 2020, the week before Thanksgiving. Of course, next Thursday, Thanksgiving, United States of America. Salud. Thank you for all of those who are listening. We have a lot to cover today, as referenced. We have as our guest, who will be helping us with the possible newly proposed Biden tax plan, the possible, I don't even say newly proposed, how do you quantify this? The I'll just say possible Biden tax plan, because apparently the election is somewhat up under question at this point. We'll see where that all goes. Ever moving picture in front of our very face as we live it in the United States of these Americas. All right, so we have a lot to discuss, and but first, we have a post from a friend of mine, Fred, both client and friend, who sent this to me a couple of days ago from a Admiral William McRaven. If you want to change the world, start off by making your bed. Now, there's a bit of a backstory behind this. This is in honor of Mr. Aiden Feelstra, son of Dave and Ann Feelstra, who is in the SEAL training right now as we speak in California. And about a week and a half ago, all the recruits refer to what the SEAL training is, the 1 week that they go through that's specifically insanely brutal, physically and mentally, as Hell Week, which they refer to it as. He just got through that about a week and a half ago.
Amazing.
He survived, not without some damage. He had a significant lung infection that they're glad that he's recuperating from now. But this week he's very excited about going through the water training. So anyway, this, I think, will not only give a salute to Aiden, but also hopefully inspire all of us, as it has me already in these last few days. Watch it a couple of times. Given all the, all the crap that's been sent at us from Field and Farm this year in 2020, including, of course, the pandemic. So let's listen to Mr. William McRaven, U.S. Navy Admiral, from a talk he gave on August 17th of 2017, if you would, Ron.
If you want to change the world, start off by making your bed. If you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It will give you a small sense of pride, and it will encourage you to do another task, and another, and another. And by the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. Making your bed will also reinforce the fact that the little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you'll never be able to do the big things right. And if by chance you have a miserable day, you will come home to a bed that is made, that you made. And a made bed gives you encouragement that tomorrow will be better. To pass SEAL training, there are a series of long swims that must be completed. One is the night swim. Before the swim, the instructors joyfully brief the students on all the species of sharks that inhabit the waters off San Clemente. They assure you, however, that no student has ever been eaten by a shark, at least not that they can remember. But you are also taught that if a shark begins to circle your position, stand your ground. Do not swim away. Do not act afraid. And if the shark, hungry for a midnight snack, darts towards you, then summons up all your strength and punch him in the snout, and he will turn and swim away. There are a lot of sharks in the world. If you hope to complete the swim, you will have to deal with them. So if you want to change the world, don't back down from the sharks. Over a few weeks of difficult training, my SEAL class, which started with 150 men, was down to just 42. There were now six boat crews of seven men each. I was in the boat with the tall guys, but the best boat crew we had was made up of the little guys, the Munchkin crew, we called them. No one was over 5'5". The Munchkin boat crew had one American Indian, one African American, one Polish American, one Greek American, one Italian American, and two tough kids from the Midwest. They out-paddled, outran, and outswam all the other boat crews. The big men in the other boat crews would always make good-natured fun of the tiny little flippers the Munchkins put on their tiny little feet prior to every swim. But somehow these little guys from every corner of the nation and the world always had the last laugh, swimming faster than everyone and reaching the shore long before the rest of us. SEAL training was a great equalizer. Nothing mattered but your will to succeed, not your color, not your ethnic background, not your education, not your social status. If you want to change the world, measure a person by the size of their heart, not by the size of their flippers. The ninth week of training is referred to as Hell Week. It is 6 days of no sleep, constant physical and mental harassment, and one special day at the Mud Flats. The Mud Flats are an area between San Diego and Tijuana where the water runs off and creates the Tijuana Sloughs, a swampy patch of terrain where the mud will engulf you. It is on Wednesday of Hell Week that you paddle down to the Mud Flats and spend the next 15 hours trying to survive this freezing cold, the howling wind, and the incessant pressure to quit from the instructors. As the sun began to set that Wednesday evening, my training class, having committed some egregious infraction of the rules, was ordered into the mud. The mud consumed each man till there was nothing visible but our heads. The instructors told us we could leave the mud if only five men would quit. Only five men, just five men, and we could get out of the oppressive cold. Looking around the mud flat, it was apparent that some students were about to give up. It was still over 8 hours till the sun came up. Eight more hours of bone-chilling cold. The chattering teeth and the shivering moans of the trainees were so loud, it was hard to hear anything. And then one voice began to echo through the night. One voice raised in song. The song was terribly out of tune, but sung with great enthusiasm. One voice became two, and two became three, and before long, everyone in the class was singing. The instructors threatened us with more time in the mud if we kept up the singing, but the singing persisted, and somehow the mud seemed a little warmer, and the wind a little tamer, and the dawn not so far away. If I have learned anything in my time traveling the world, it is the power of hope, the power of one person, a Washington, a Lincoln, King, Mandela, and even a young girl from Pakistan, Malala. One person can change the world by giving people hope. So if you want to change the world, start each day with a task completed. Find someone to help you through life. Respect everyone. Know that life is not fair and that you will fail often. But if you take some risks, step up when the times are the toughest, face down the bullies, lift up the downtrodden, and never, ever give up, if you do these things, the next generation and the generations that follow will live in a world far better than the one we have today. And what started here will indeed have changed the world for the better.
All right, that is Admiral William McCraven, U.S. Navy, sir. here on the Prout Financial Designs New Retirement Radio.
With all due respect, amen. Thank you, Ron, for playing that. For those of you who want to see that, it is posted on YouTube under the same name. If you want to change the world, start off by making your bed, by William McRaven. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. All right, so before we get on with John here and get going, one other personal announcement. Cecilia Loughran is officially our granddaughter.
Hey.
Adopted today in court.
Oh, that's great.
Within
congratulations.
The Chicago area, I think it is. Anyway, we're going to be watching that by Zoom. And for those of you who kept track of it, probably not very many, almost 6 years in the making, this adoption. Talk about slow court process there in Chicago. So, man, in spite of all this bad stuff out there, there are still some good things happening, and we'll hang on to that bright light this morning.
Yep.
To Cece Loughran and her parents, Kevin, and our daughter, Lindsay.
All right.
Godspeed. It's awesome. All right, John, sluice.
Sluice.
The sluice day. How did you say that, Ron?
When a sluice of life.
A sluice of life. We'll take it. So John Sluice, CPA, certified public accountant, on with us today talking about the possible Biden tax plan. We'll just talk and say it that way. And changes that may be occurring, most likely, either way, taxes going up to some degree. So from the 40,000-foot view right now, before we take our break, what are the main components of this, John, that people should be concerned about?
I think the main component is that it's twofold. One is whether you're Republican, Democrat, conservative, aggressive, however you look at it, there's very few individuals that would feel that taxes are not going up. And so you have to have that in mind when you're looking at things. So you got to play. You got to plan for the fact that taxes are likely going to go up.
Rising taxes, almost a foregone conclusion.
That is correct. But within that said, that we don't go and we don't make knee-jerk reactions either. And so tax planning is absolutely crucial, but making sure that you don't do it too quickly. And we're going to get into the details of when and how and fast, but I don't care what income level you are, what asset level you have, planning for and making moves now or later, it's in the reference of what standard, good, solid tax planning is important. That's the key as well.
So appreciate how incredibly low tax brackets are this year, and take advantage of them to the full degree that you're able or can. Would possibly what you'd say first, would that be accurate, John?
That would be accurate, but not to go too far either and look at your circumstance, because there is instances where maybe it may not go where you think it's going to. And so that is what I'm seeing is don't go off the cliff either. So plan, think, it's monumental of what may happen, but I'm also seeing people make monumental mistakes as well.
In all things moderation.
That's a fantastic way to look at
that. So, you know, when you're flavoring that turkey, don't go too far with too many of those hot, cayenne or whatever.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, those things in moderation, what could people do this year that you might recommend first off?
There's several that we should do. And I think the first one takeaway that I would say is I want everyone to hear the phrase, know your rate. So, Dennis, you talk a lot about that retirement is something that it's in their responsibility. And I would say the same for taxes. It's people's responsibility to know it. And within that is know your rate. So when I say that is what tax rate and what tax bracket are you in? So the United States is on a graduated tax rate. And so if someone says I'm in the 32% bracket or the 24% bracket, it's not like everything that they pay is in that bracket. It works its way up. But when you're doing tax planning and when you're making decisions on when and how to make these tax moves is make sure you understand what bracket you're in and fully utilize those brackets. So if you're doing tax planning now, before now and the end of the year, it's to make sure that we're utilizing that tax bracket up that you're in so that you don't jump to a higher bracket, but then also that you don't go to a lower bracket. And so it's looking and just you should know your rate in whatever decision you're making from a tax point of view.
All right. So when you're saying that, for a couple, for instance, whose taxable income, taxable after perhaps the standard deduction, is $80,000 or less, their approximate tax bracket for that top line income is about 12%.
12%.
12% at that bracket. So for someone in that particular bracket, are you saying then that they ought to take advantage of possibly some more income?
Yes. And so in that bracket, someone in the 12% bracket, I would say, well, I don't know if your taxes are going to go, your income taxes are going to go up next year. We're going to talk about some other areas that you're going to feel that pressure. But from an income tax point of view, they may not go up. And therefore, really utilizing some of that 12% bracket and in pushing yourself into the 22% bracket this year may not make sense. So you may not want to go too far. Where I see people in the 12% bracket is saying, hey, let's look to our financial advisor. Maybe we want to recognize some capital gains because we don't want to lose. So we might have some in the 10% bracket as well. And let's fully utilize that 12% and go do a Roth conversion or go do a capital gain recognition.
So you're saying, we kind of talked about this before we began the program. We're referencing it a little bit as the stealth taxes that may be imposed, not necessarily straight income taxes.
Yeah, and that gets back to the comment where I said that I don't think anyone's going to argue that taxes are going to go up. The question is, where are those taxes going to go up? So the Tax Foundation has a statistic out there right now looking at the Biden plan that says the average American is going to see a 1.9% decline in their after-tax income. Notice I didn't say income tax decline. What I said is decline in their after-tax income. What that means is the average American may feel it by an increased washer and dryer, because maybe that washer and dryer GE had to pay for a tariff for it to come in. Or it might be from an increased cell phone usage charge that came through from your cell phone provider. So it may not be income tax, but it may be another tax, which you referred to as those stealth taxes.
So what you're saying is that all tax increases are eventually passed on to the consumer anyway. That's not what you're saying. All right. So they are.
And they are.
It's,
they
in
are.
Reality,
they
is
are.
They're going to see about 2% less or so in personal income, according to the Tax Foundation.
All people pay the taxes, whether it's through the corporation, the individual. It is going to come back to the individual one way or the other.
All right, and talking about the new, the proposed tax plans that might come up here.
Ron, that's a good point there, where you talk about proposed.
Yeah.
Where everything that we're talking about here is based off of information on a website or information that's published from hearing speeches and presentations. There's no real definitive anything on this. And so what we're saying here is all projected, all anticipated. It has general consistencies that have been pushed out there, and so we're feeling comfort level of being able to say at least it's consistent on what's being presented, and what we're feeling is it's consistently looking like it's going to go up.
Well, I think it's good to make people aware of what might happen, because it helps you understand the changes if they do happen. Yeah. And like you said, being prepared and being aware of what's going on can put you in a better situation.
Correct, yeah. And we did a video earlier that kind of talked through this, and one thing I want to make sure I mention here is we say that it's going up. For individuals that are earning less than $400,000 or $1 million, there's two thresholds there. There's the $400,000 and then the $1 million. If you're making less, there's a good chance that your income taxes will stay the same or even go down a little bit because of credits that are going to come through there. Hear from us when we talk about this going up. It's not necessarily that you have to rush out and do major things, but you need to be aware. If you make more than $400,000 or more than $1 million, you absolutely need to be tax planning and thinking through those. And we're going to go through a few of those details here today.
Okay. So. Well, let's start with some of the details then.
Okay. So if you're making more than $400,000, that's the number that is pushed out there. That's what Biden has talked about and promised, that no one making less than that would have a tax increase. But he's very open in saying if you make more than $400,000, there will be a tax increase. And it is fairly significant. So the two key things there that they're talking about, the one is the current bracket for that amount is 37%. So it's actually, we don't even know, when he talks about the $400,000, we don't know if it's married or if it's single or otherwise. So that's a little bit of an unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But the current bracket is 37%. What he's saying is to go back to what it used to be, which is 39.6. So you're going to see a 2.6% increase in your taxes. That's one factor. And then perhaps even more impactful is that there's this what's called the Social Security donut.
Right.
And maybe let me step back a little bit. You currently you pay Social Security on the first $136,000 of income that you have. And then anything above that, you're not paying Social Security on. He's entering, or he's proposing now, that if you make more than $400,000 or anything, any earnings above $400,000 would then also be subject to it again. And it's not necessarily going to go into your bank. So when you're, if you think about Social Security almost like a retirement account, that in theory it's going to, you're going to get it back. Well, if you're at that above the $400,000, it's a pure tax. So you're truly paying that extra tax above that. And that could be significant because that's 12.4%.
Okay. So, so you would be paying a tax up to that limit. Then you wouldn't be paying that tax in that middle area, and then you would be paying a tax once you get to that $400,000, and that's what you mean by the donut. You
the donut,
sort of have
yes.
a circle in there where you're not paying.
Yes, and what they're trying to do there is he's truly trying to hit a tax on very high earners there. So the, in his what their definition of if you're making more than $400,000 in wages, you're an earner. And so because it's a true tax, so whereas if you're making below that, it's going into your account. And then he's trying to say, okay, anyone in between there, you're not penalized, but you're not benefiting from it. If it's more than $400,000, that's a pure tax that's going to happen after that. And he's trying to hit the executives and the high earners there.
Right. Okay.
But you don't know if that's individual or joint.
Individual or joint. We don't know if it's wages, if it's other income. I would think it's wages. But yes, it's the key there is we're going to think about other ways to earn dollars and to really look at it. That's that. There's some significant planning that's going to have to be going on recognizing income now versus later if that's where to go in effect. And then let's talk about the $1 million one that you've heard me talk about,
okay.
a million of income.
Let's talk about that.
That one is that they're talking about making capital gains go from capital gains rate, which is currently either 15 or 20%, depending on the brackets, in that if you're in making the $1 million, you're in the 20% bracket there. They're making it talking about making that go to ordinary income. Which again would at that bracket be 39.6%. So it's effectively eliminating capital gains. Huge ramifications there.
Yeah.
Huge ramifications. Now, many individuals that are listening to the radio show here may say, well, if I have $1 million of capital gains, that doesn't happen to me on a regular basis. I'm fine. I don't need to worry about that. But actually, you'd be surprised that more often than not, you may get impacted. Now, it may not be every year, but what we're talking about here is if you sell your business on that one transaction, or maybe you sell the farm, or you sell your second cottage that you happen to have, and you have a gain that hits that, boom, all of a sudden that one particular year, that hit got 39.6%, and that's that one particular year. So we have to be very careful on those larger transactions that you're thinking about, too.
Right. So if you've held on to that asset for a number of years, decades even, your basis could be quite low. So,
right. And that's where you're going to see it. So the takeaway there for me is that it's not just for those wealthy individuals. It's for everyone needs to be thinking about it because it could have ramifications for you as well. So.
Is that so, what's the cap gains tax now on that if you sold a family farm for $2 million?
That currently it would be 20% at that. So for some it's 15, but at that rate it would be 20%. And then you may or may not have a net investment tax that's in place.
So it could double.
It's basically double. I mean, it's if you are looking at the $400,000 and the $1 million, you need to be thinking about tax planning now. What you're going to shift, what you're going to be utilizing, and making those moves before the end of the year. Now, I say that, and I also want to point out here that is a fundamental shift. And if we look at timing, looking back, there has only been one other instance in history where they've done a retroactive tax increase, and even that was a retroactive to the beginning of the year. My observation, and it's only an observation, would be that if they're going to do a retroactive look, so if you think about the fact on timing, he gets elected and if Biden gets elected and if he is able to present this and pass this with a close Senate and then the House, if it goes through, if it happens, whether or not they go back retroactively to the beginning of 2021 is probably unlikely if it is a monumental tax change. So if it's a small tax change, it may go back retroactively, but more likely it's going to go in 2022. So we do have this year. And so what I'm telling people is we absolutely need to be doing tax planning. You need to be thinking about it. But don't go and sell the business or don't go and sell the farm in the next 10 days. Think about it. Don't make a rash decision because we probably have a little bit more time.
Because there's a little bit of a timeline there because it's going to take the process a while to go through. And you're saying so that would be late 21 maybe if something went through, and most likely it would be for the year starting 2022.
If it's a major overhaul, it most likely would be for the year 2022, like a prospective. If it's a plain vanilla increase, it may go backwards. But then again, you want to have been thinking about it, but I wouldn't tell you to go sell your business just because you want to avoid that for the, you know, the capital gains going to the ordinary. Or things
right,
because
like our last tax bill that went through, that started the year after it was taxed.
That's
correct?
The more normal. It's only gone back retroactively just that one time.
Okay.
And so the more typical is that you go forward looking.
So along with your if the capital gains goes to 39.6% rate, and people have a year to plan or over a year to plan, there could be a lot of sales then if that's
there could
the reality.
Be. There could businesses. Be. And we're seeing it already this year. That's okay. What you're hearing me say. I mean, I have clients that are looking at selling businesses, and they should be thinking about it. So that's how monumental this could be. Hmm. And so they should be thinking about it. Now, I would tell you, if you haven't been thinking about selling it before this, don't go sell your business in 20 days. Not advised. Don't go sell the farm in 20 days. But absolutely, you should, if be thinking about it next year because there could be significant ramifications. I mean, if you're talking going from a 20% to a 39.6%, I mean, that's doubling your taxes. That has a huge impact. And so incurring some costs sooner than later might make sense.
Right.
All right. It's 23 before the top of the hour. It's New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. Heidi's in along with special guest John Sluice. And we're talking about potential proposed tax laws and how they could impact you and the planning required that would go into that. Now is a good time to start.
Now is a good time to start. And and I'll circle back onto the knowing your rate. That's where I want to reiterate here is know your rate, because the tax planning you're going to be doing now is going to be to maximize that. So here for me is that you should be doing tax planning, but it's not necessarily a knee-jerk reaction because we think it's going to go up, but know what rate you're in to maximize that particular rate. And so when we do come back from the next segment here, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we can be doing this year that aren't the knee-jerk reactions, but are still making moves that would be utilizing and knowing your rate.
All right.
Yeah, so. Sounds good.
Jim is in Lake Leelanau. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, Ronald. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hey, I got a question for that fella. Can't remember his name.
Mr. John Sluice.
Okay, what is Biden, is he saying anything about inheritance tax? If I give my kids the farm when I die, are they going to pay huge taxes on it?
There's potential, and I would say thank you. You just opened up a whole can of worms that I can we can drop Shea stats and continue to go for a long ways on this one. But so actually, I would say Biden is looking at that. Interesting enough, so were the Republicans as well. This gets into where we all acknowledge that their property taxes are going to go up. This is an area that I think that individuals in general feel that they're going to hit. So whether it's going to be a decline on the estate standard deduction, so currently it's doubled from what it was, which is set to sunset in 2025 and 2026.
Right. The estate tax equivalent, the amount that passes outside of estate tax is about $22.5 million or so.
With a married couple,
With a married couple, correct. Now, what the proposal is that it'd cut that in about half to, you know, $6.5 million or so.
Yeah, and bring it back to what it was before the 2018 tax law there. And so, actually, many feel that that's going to happen. And so, yes, absolutely. If that is of a concern, you should be looking at doing those. There's a lot of things that we can be doing right now to do that, whether it's through gifting, whether it's through one of the strategies I really appreciate and really like is just straight notes. So like a promissory note to the next generation. Very powerful in the low interest rates scheme that we're in right now, too. So there absolutely you need to be thinking and looking at the estate transitions there that are happening.
All right. Thanks for the buzz there today. Jim in Lake Leelanau. We have John's in Traverse City. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Yes.
I tuned in late, so I hope this is apropos, but I'm 77, and I had planned when I'm 80 to sell my home and probably move into either a rental or something like that. And I wondered what my exposure is on my, if there's a capital gains exposure on the home that I sell.
Have you lived in the house? Is it your primary residence, and have you lived it there for several years?
Yes. Yeah, so, I've been here for 13 years.
Currently, and I have not seen any indication that this would go away. I mean, obviously everything is always up for adjustments, but I think that would be a monumental change for them to get rid of this. There's currently an exemption for selling your primary residence and your personal residence there that the $250,000 if you're single or $500,000 if you're married is exempted from the gain. So any gain that you have over that, you have to look at. But any gain that's less than that, you have to think about. Now, there's a further ramifications if you mentioned the farm, if it was used in business.
No, that was a previous
show. Oh, that was a previous show. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Yes.
So you got to consider, okay, have you used this as a rental or has it been used in business? And there are ramifications there. But in general, it's things that you can kind of consider.
So that's doubtful. We'll see a change in the residential.
I don't see that. I have not seen any mention of that in any of the readings that we've done. And that would be that'd be significantly impactful.
So currently over $500,000, there is a gain to be taxed.
Over 500. If you're married and you have a gain, and notice the gain, not necessarily what you sell for, but the gain. So, and then inside of that, you can look at, okay, if you put in major improvements that you never deducted, so you put in new windows, you put a new roof in, those can add to what you purchased as well. So you might want to go back. If you are hitting against that $500,000, look at some of the costs you've put into the property.
All right, John in Traverse City, thank you for the buzz there on New Retirement Radio.
Good to hear your voice. Take care now. All right, so let's go back to the taxes, John, just to cover at the end here. It sounds to me as though you're saying anyone over income of $400,000 or who would anticipate that in the coming few years is certainly going to look at a higher tax bracket or higher tax rate on their income, and they really do need to sit down and do some planning and taking a look at what they might do about that in future years, and especially those for incomes over $1 million. And then even for those with appreciated business assets, they really will need to do some planning as well through various gifting strategies and or tax strategies that somehow go down the middle of being too conservative and too aggressive in their respective tax planning. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, because right there at the end is the key, that you can't go so far that you hurt yourself, because this is all planned. We don't know. This is off of a proposed plan and the feeling that things are going to go up. And so we have to be smart about it, but we don't want to go so far that we just the numbers become too unemotional or emotional.
Right. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. And I know this is going to be tough for you, John, to admit this, but it's not necessarily a bad thing to say it's okay to pay some tax.
It is very tough for me to say that. But, you know, I am saying that more and more this year. So, and especially where I'm focusing individuals on or people on is on timing differences, so versus permanent differences. And so, you know, we've talked about the Roth IRA, so making some of those contributions into a Roth or conversions from a traditional to a Roth. Those are timing differences. And that's where you're going to say, okay, it may make sense. So even if we do make the wrong call and the taxes don't go up, hypothetically, that it wasn't a bad thing that we did it. It was just a thing that we did it. And so it's not bad. So those are where I'm focusing individuals on.
Right. Trying to gaze into the future through a relatively dark hourglass right now is a little difficult. But knowing that in certain respects, it's almost a for certain that we're going to see rising tax rates.
Right. The other one I'm telling people to look at capital gains. You know, so if as you do tax planning, you find that you can use more inside of your tax bracket and recognize some income, maybe consider selling some of those highly appreciated assets that are in your portfolio that would recognize some capital gains. And it's only going to help you later.
Yeah.
So, those are timing differences to think about.
The thing that was most alarming to me is the proposed increase in taxes for those who pass away, and that the children will not get a proposed step up in that basis. And they'll have to pay, or the estate will have to pay, that increased tax.
That's a whole separate radio show in of itself, just because of where that could go and how that could go. And that gets my head spinning, and I'm planning, long-range planning that we can do there with the estate tax.
That one honestly just takes me right under the edge of my seat, because to me, that I consider that particularly egregious. I'll just say it that way. All right, so finally, John, we had a brief conversation here about taxes again. State what you would if you did at the break.
Yeah, well, we've been focusing this whole call on if you want to recognize income in, which I hear me say you should be, and it's going to be hard for many to think through that. And as I say, it's tough to rip the Band-Aid off and actually do those. But so the flip side of that is there are many individuals right now that have more income than they were planning on. So doing the standard tax planning that we would normally be thinking of at the end of the year, doing bonuses, doing retirement contribution to your 401k, equipment purchases, those are important to be thinking about. Especially what I want to hit here is making sure your estimates and your withholdings are appropriate. Because many tax professionals, ourselves included, when we were doing your last year's taxes, we were looking ahead and we were in the middle of a whole pandemic shutdown that looked like catastrophic failure was coming, and maybe not have created safe harbor estimates. So be thinking about those, because you have to make some of those moves before the end of the year.
So some businesses way ahead of where they thought they were going to be, you better get to it in terms of planning.
Yeah, you need to be thinking. So
absolutely.
Yes, you need to be thinking that you don't want to go too high, but you also don't want to go too low. You want to be in the middle. You want to know your rate.
Right. John Sluice, 935-1590 in Traverse City. Dennis Prout, Prout Financial Design, 947-3992. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.